Greetings, weary wanderer, and welcome back to Lonely TTRPG, the solo actual play and review podcast. This week, we are playing Pilgrimage of the Sun Guard by Amanda P. Now, Pilgrimage of the Sun Guard is a solo prompt-based journaling game where you create a Sun Guard and travel alone on a quest, attempting to hold your code until you reach the end, facing trials and complications along the way. You were the last Sun Guard. Will you take up the mantle and ride the ancient roads? Upon a great mesa, a crumbling keep emblazoned with fading symbols of a many-rayed sun. The spinnerets were once blazing gold, a proud embodiment of a great order now fallen into days of lesser influence. The halls once echoed with the laughter of men at arms, the declarations of solar scholars, the warmth of many hearts that now sit bereft of heat and tinder. The empire, before it eroded like a slowly aging ruin, was full of such orderly halls, and the stories of the realm echoed with their warriors and scholars' great feats. You are one of the last vouchsafed members of a great order, though you have only known it in its later days. The Empire's chaotic disillusion, a distant memory from your childhood. A strange messenger has arrived, calling the Sun Guard to ride the ancient roads, and you are the only one fit enough to follow the quest wherever it may lead. So, for gameplay, this is a game about going on a quest and doing great deeds before winter comes. It's about attempting to act virtuously despite temptations to violate your code. The game is about learning from mistakes, not sinking into despair. You are going to need 2d6, 1d8, 1d4, a piece of paper, a writing instrument, and some background music to help frame a quest of great deeds. While questing, you will visit places, experience challenges, and spend resources to address those challenges. Your resources are might, which is your strength and agility, guile, your cleverness and social intelligence, honor, your perceived trustworthiness, and time, the weeks that the roads are passable. As you travel, you will attempt to earn deeds of renown. Deeds are short phrases that describe your actions to resolve specific prompts. They demonstrate your prowess, and you will want to gain as many as possible on your pilgrimage. So the way play works is you're going to go to the location listed in the book and spend one time. Then you're going to roll 2d6, add up the dice, and that is going to be your first prompt. Read the prompt, follow the directions. At each location, you will roll for two prompts unless otherwise directed. If you get the same prompt, go ahead and re-roll. Prompts are based around choices your characters would make on their journey. You will spend and gain resources and earn deeds of renown. A few deed examples might be Cleanser of the Sacred Shrine or Slayer of the Dread Knight. Record these on your character sheet. For each location, you're going to write a brief summary of what happened once everything's all done. Now, when you run out of all resources, including time, your character can choose to end their quest or break their code to regain resources. So, if you run out of resources and you choose to break your code, what you're going to do is you're going to roll 1d6 to determine how you broke your code. After answering that prompt, you're going to roll a d6 and recover that many resources. So, for example, you answer the code prompt and you roll a 4, so you can recover 1 might, 1 time, and 2 guile. At that point, you're just going to return to where you were on the pilgrimage and continue your journey. For the rest of the book, we got character creation, ideas to help spark your character and get into their mindset, some name generators, some descriptor generators, and then your various locations, which we will see most of as we play through. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and transition into our gameplay. I've already set up my character sheet. So when you're creating your character, you're going to roll 2d6, and that's going to determine how many resources you get. And then you start out with 6 time. So starting at the top, we have to first choose our name. So for the name, if you use the name generator, which we will on this, you are going to roll a d6. You're going to roll 1d6 to select what row you're choosing from, another d6 to select the column, and then a final d6 to select your name. So we are just going to roll 3d6 and just treat them in order. And we got 3, 3, 4. So that first 3 is going to be the second row. That second 3 will be the third column. And the 4 will be our name, which is Florencio. And we're going to go ahead and add our descriptor to that right now. And the descriptor generator, same rules. We're going to roll 3d6, and that will determine row, column, and descriptor. And we got 2, 1, 6. So that 2 is going to be the first row. 1 is going to be the first column. And 6 will be the descriptor, which is Valiant. Florencio the Valiant. Not a bad name right there. That sounds like a good knight. Next, we need to choose our background. There are 4 backgrounds in the book. Apprentice, Romantic, Cloistered, and Veteran. So we'll just roll 1d4 to determine that. I was kind of leaning towards the veteran, but we're letting fate decide everything here. And instead, I get the apprentice. Now, our background is also going to give us our code. And the apprentice code is to prove oneself to other people through great deeds. And then we're going to select 2 of the listed traits, which is eager, curious, courageous, and immature. So I think I'm going to go with eager and courageous. That seems like they fit well with our valiant tag. And then finally, our cherished item is listed as a handmade item. So what shall we do for this handmade item? So I think for this handmade item, we are going to go with our cloak. And we made this cloak ourselves, and it is emblazoned with the symbol of the Sun Guard. We are an eager apprentice. We really want to prove ourselves. And as part of that, we use some of our time to make this cloak. We made this cloak. We emblazoned it with the Sun Guard symbol. And that's just part of our attempts at trying to live up to the moniker we have given ourselves as Valiant. Now, what we're going to do is roll 2d6 in order to determine our resource pool size. And we got 1, 1, snake eyes. So that is a total of 2 resources. So I think we're going to go ahead and put 1 in might and 1 in honor. Guile doesn't seem like it suits us. I probably should have gone with immature as one of my traits, but we like to think that we are honorable and mighty. It all fits in with the valiant ideals that we're trying to live up to. Unfortunately, as Socrates once said, an untested virtue is no virtue at all, and our virtues are untested. So we don't realize how low they actually are. But the bright side is we will be able to see what happens when we run out of resources, because we are going to run out of resources. Now, there is a page for sparks for character ideas. We're not going to roll on any of those. I think we already have a pretty good idea of who Florencio is. He is a young man who has read the stories, who knows the Sun Guard by reputation, and he wants to prove himself as worthy of being a part of it and wants to be seen by others as worthy of being part of the Sun Guard. And with that, we start off with our departure. Censers of smoke and beeswax candles burn in the remote mountaintop shrine of the Sun Guard. The sun hangs low, waiting to rise on the horizon. The sword Saint Azor's blade heavily presses on each of your shoulders as you kneel on the cold slate tiles. Placing the sword down, the sword Saint declaims thus, voice echoing in the smoky hall. The messenger has come. The signs are here. It is time to reclaim the ancient rite of the Sun Guard, to pilgrimage to our ancient shrine in the Frost Cliffs, to declare the deeds done in the light of the sun. Go, ride the ancient roads. Do right by all you meet. Be valiant. Be true. Hold to your code. Anointing your forehead in oil, the sword saint declares in a singing tone the visions and signs for your vouchsafed quest, the signs of the sun you are under. And now we get to roll for those. So that's going to be 2d8, and we got 5 and 7.
I see abundant hope. I see rushing water over worn stones.
And if we have a chance to incorporate the prophecy's motif into a prompt response, we can avoid marking one resource. We can do this once per motif. So that's nice. That's actually going to be really helpful as I don't have a whole lot of resources. So being able to use these two in order to avoid losing some resource is going to be very helpful. And with the Sword Saint's words ringing in your ears, you mount your horse and depart, riding over the edges of all you have known down the rough mesa roads to the great beyond. How do you feel leaving everything behind and heading into the unknown? So Florencio, I think, is feeling kind of nervous right now.
It is the start of my journey. I do not know how long it will take. I only know the road. A road that I have never known, except through story and fable. My whole life I have waited for this chance, for this opportunity, and now at last it is upon me. I will not fail my order, I will not fail the Sun Guard. I will uphold the Sword Saint's words.
And with that, we are going to arrive at the desert. The desert lies before you and across the edges of your memory. The wind, sand, and heat consuming your thoughts. You remember your last crossing, the grit and danger, and steel yourself. Mark one time and roll 2d6 to find our prompt. So already we are down one time and we are going to roll 2d6. And we got a total of 6 on that. So with 6, a grove of large cacti, giant yellow eyes looking curiously from the hollows as the sun sinks below the horizon. They want tribute and whisper such in the depths of your mind. Do you make an offering? If not, how do their eyes haunt your dreams? And spend one resource.
As I travel through the desert, I find some solace in a grove of cacti. As I sat there among their prickly bodies and admire this plant that has learned to live in the harshness of the sun's greatness, from the darkness I see these yellow eyes stare out at me. Inside my head, they demand the tribute.
Give it to us. We demand it. We need it. Must offer to us if you wish to safely pass.
For this, I have nothing to give, nor would I if I did. For I am a servant of the light and the sun, that which hides in shadow and darkness. This I cannot support. This I cannot offer tribute to. I may only offer tribute to the sun, to the light. But these creatures, they haunt my dreams. My sleep is fitful and rough. I do not rest well. My progress, it slows. For It is difficult to make good time in the desert. Even more so when one does not get enough sleep. When one does not recover from the heat of the day.
And I'm going to say that the resource that I lose is time. That these things force me to move more slowly as I attempt to reconcile what the darkness actually hides with my mission. But now we continue our way across the desert, and I get an 8. One evening, you make camp in a shallow ravine out of sight from the road. The innumerable stars shine down on you in your way. What do you think about? Do you wonder if you are seeing the same stars? Regain one resource. Outstanding. So I'm going to go ahead and put that under that resource under honor as Florencio beds down for the night and stares up into the vastness of the cosmos laid out before him. It has been so long since I have truly looked up upon the heavens and seen such a sky. While our sanctuary atop the mesa offers a similar view, it is easy to lose yourself in the work and forget about the natural beauty that is around us. To forget that even in the dark of night, the stars shine upon us as our great star shines down on us during the day. 1,000 suns blaring down with our protecting light. And with their view, I rededicate myself to my mission. I rededicate myself to that which I seek. For it is important that I accomplish this, that the sun guard rises again. As the sun shall rise in the east, so too shall the sun guard rise once more. And after days of riding through the desert, we finally see its edge, and we move towards it, crossing the threshold into the shadowy pines, where the air is clean and smells of sap. Drips of yesterday's rainfall fall slowly down onto your head from the trees. The sun seems far away now, though through the tightly woven boughs. Mark one time and roll 2d6. So our first prompt is going to be an 11. The clattering of wooden wheels greets your ears as a humble cart drawn by a donkey approaches you. Pushing her glasses up and blowing a curl out of her face, a clear voice lets you know she's heading to assist a remote family with a birth. She shares a poultice with you before she heads on her way. Regain one resource. So I'm going to say that this resource is time. We're going to give myself some more time here. Moving from the desert to the pines, it was almost concerning, for the sun, it became so far away. It seemed so far away, hidden as it was by the trees. But the refreshing rainfall soothed my parched lips. And as I traveled along the path, I met a woman, a healer, who shared with me some medicine. And that helped to ease the aches and pains of the desert crossing. It helped to ease my mind of the concerns that those shattery creatures and the cacti had given me. And with renewed spirit, I was able to quickly move along the path. For the road did not feel like such a burden in this area, and though the sun was far away, the light still shone down upon us. And for our second task, we got an 8. Lighting on the edges of your vision, a phantasm leads you to a rotting ledge. Inside, a skeleton wearing a dusty sleep robe lies fallen, a still full tobacco pipe lying on the floor. Profound longing fills the air. How do you appease the spirit so that it may find rest? And we will spend one resource here, and that resource, I think, is going to be honor. As Florencio kneels over the skeleton and performs a ritual. We're going to have, we're going to have Florencio. He's going to pull the skeleton out of this rotting lodge so that it may be bathed in the light of the sun. And he's going to perform the funeral rites for this poor thing that has fallen. It is a terrible thing for a creature, for a man to die and remain in darkness. May the light of the sun shine down upon your form and give you the rest and peace that you desire. May the pain that has clung to you, like the dew of the morning, be burned away in the sun's glory, so that you may find rest, so that you may find peace, and so that your torment may finally end. And like a mist evaporating in the morning sun, so too does the phantasm evaporate as it drifts upward. And as we perform this funeral rite, I think that because we are providing hope to this spirit, that we're actually going to activate our abundant hope sign. And we will use that in order to maintain our two honor. So we're actually not going to spend any honor on this resource because, again, it is tied in with our abundant hope prophecy. And with that, we also get ourselves a deed of renown. So I think that deed's going to be the Soother of Spirits. So we are now Florencio the Valiant, Soother of Spirits. But we continue our travels, we continue our journey, and we soon reach the edge of the forest and come upon a valley, rushing water over stones and through the reeds. Creeks join to great rivers flowing down from the frost cliffs beyond. Bloom surround you in the great river valley. Mark one time and roll for your prompts. So rolling 2d6 for our first prompt in the river valley. We got 9. Chanting and self-flagellating, a group of monks in rough brown robes approach where you've made camp. They demand that you serve as their guardian until they reach the next town. Their capacity for violence is clear. How do you continue your quest while navigating their demands? Nothing like being waylaid by some monks. So we're supposed to spend one resource and one time for this. We're going to go ahead and use our other prophecy. So we cannot outright refuse the monks. However, we are going to use some honor and speak with them. You men of the cloth who come to spread the holy word, you come and you make demands of another. This is not right. This is no good. For this is not the way of aid and the way of the gods. For the gods are like the rushing river, carrying us along. And while we stay in the river and we work together, we are part of the river and we are part of the plan of the gods. But you, with your demands, you are like the stones who attempt to divert the river and divert its course and divert us away. And you think that just because you are in the river that you are executing the will of the river when you are not. For even the roughest and sharpest stones that live in the river, the gods will eventually smooth, and the gods will change so that these rough edges, so that these
proud stones become worn and the water is able to flow freely about them and over them. So while you may think that you are the rough stone now, this I promise that you will soon become the worn stone if you do not turn away from this path and rejoin the river and the will of the gods. But as a man of honor, I will make sure that nothing happens to you as long as we travel along the same path. But to divert myself away from the river, because a stone has appeared before me, this I cannot do. And so I think the monks will feel properly chastised, and we will escort them along the way, but we do manage to get a little bit of respect, a little bit of begrudging respect, and they do not impede our progress, for they recognize that we too are on a holy mission. So they do not cost us any time. And we also gain another deed of renown for this. And what should this be? We're going to go with Speaker of the Divine Word, because we did use our prophecy and we did appeal to the religious nature of these monks. So Florencio the Valiant, soother of spirits and speaker of the divine word. Now, for our next task, we got a 5. Acrobats and colorful performers have set up a theater. The play is a farce, critical of the local nobility. Some guardsmen approach, grim eyes and sharp blades ready. How do you help the performers escape? How does someone get hurt through your helping? Spend one resource and gain a deed. So this seems like a pretty clear might expenditure, as Florencio interposes himself between the guards and the performers. You will stand down, for this is nothing but an act, a play, and if the play is critical, so what? It is nothing but words. If the great are truly great, then these words, they cannot hurt. These words, these acts, they cannot do anything. All they can do is expose the truths that some wish to keep hidden. But to keep things hidden is an act of the shadow, and those who walk in the light, they fear not what is hidden, for nothing is hidden from the light. And Florencio will draw his sword and stand before the guards. And I think there's going to be a little scuffle. I think one of the guards ends up getting hurt during the scuffle. The performers are able to get away. And Florencio has now definitely done a great deed in front of others. Like in front of others who were actually likely to speak of it. Because the previous deeds that he did were all relatively minor. I mean, yes, he brought the monks into the town where the performers were performing at, but the monks, they don't seem like the type to go around and talk about how their change of heart came about. And, you know, helping the spirit was a profoundly personal thing that I think Florencio only did because others would have run away from the spirit. But this was a chance for him to stand up in front of armed assailants and protect some normal people. And the fact that they were actors and bards would definitely help out, as they would spread the word. Who knows, this may become a play later on with Florencio as the star. But as for our deed, we're going to go with Protector of the Poor. Not poor. Me and my need for alliteration. Let's go with Protector of the Oppressed. And that will be our deed of renown. But with that concludes our time in the River Valley. And we once again
make our way forward. This village, I'm going to say this village is actually on the edge of the Frost Cliffs. So leaving the village, we begin ascending the Frost Cliffs. The late autumnal wind shrieks through your bones as you begin your climb, with foreboding clouds threatening snow to cover the trail in the coming hours. Mark one time and roll for your prompts. So for our first prompt, we're going to get a 9. There is a figure in the ice floes that you see in brief reflections. A weirdling one of power. A bargain is offered. An exchange of power for time. What do you give up in exchange for more time with fair weather? Spend one resource, gain one time, gain one deed. So honestly, with this prompt, I don't think that Florencio would go for it. Making deeds or making deals with strange apparitions, all to avoid the threat of winter. That doesn't feel like the Florencio who we've been playing. So I will spend the resource. I will spend my last honor point, because I think for Florencio, it would be a point of honor that he would not accept this deal. I'm not going to take the time, but I will take the deed. So we're going to spend our last honor, and we will add the deed of rejector of supernatural powers. As I travel through the early phases of the Frost Cliffs, I see a face. I see something in the ice, and it glares at me with its cold blue eyes.
Winter is coming faster than you can imagine. Time. What would you do for more? Would you take more time? Come now. It is but a simple offer. Trade with me something of value. I shall give you one more week before court.
But this offer I cannot take. For these supernatural powers, no one can change the course, the sun. No one can change the power of the sun. And for this creature to claim that it holds the ability to do such a thing, no. I reject this offer. I reject this promise of power, promise of time. I will make it. I will make it in time, and I will make it upon my own merits, not through the aid of those who claim authority over the sun's powers. Now, rolling for our next task, we got an 11. Outstanding. So, Rough Hewn is the mountain hermit's humble home, where he offers you shelter, asking only for recent news of the road. What story do you share with him? And regain one resource. So, I think for this resource, I will regain some more honor as I sit with this hermit. And news of the road. I mean, Florencio has plenty of news of the road. He's had quite the adventure. And I think as he and the hermit are talking, that he would share most of the stories. That the road, it is not as dangerous as it was. For the spirits, for some of the spirits that have haunted the desert, they have been put to rest. Those who would seek to waylay and impress others into service for protection, they have been dealt with. The local guards who attempt to exert absolute authority over thoughts and opinions have been dealt with. The roads they are much better from the people aspect. Though what you need to be careful of, my friend, is that the supernatural, they They are bound. They hide in the ice. They hide in the shadows. These supernatural powers, they hide in way too many places, and it is not good. This is not good. So, be sure to keep yourself to the light. For those who walk in the light have been learning their lessons and have been becoming better people. And after his night with the hermit, he leaves the humble house and finally finds, carved into the mountain, a set of endless stairs. Up and up, carved into the mountain face, thousands and thousands of stairs going around the mountain to the long, abandoned, hollowed halls of the Sun Guard. At the bottom of these steps, a warrior's encampment of the cruel, dread arbiters of will, a militant order of grim renown. Mark one time and roll 1d6 to find your way to the steps and through the perilous danger. Respond to the prompt and move on. Oh no. Oh no, I was so close. I was so close and I may be tripping at the finish line. Four, what does four do for me? You manage to find a caravan that leads up, hopefully a secret way, up the great precipice. How long are you in the caravan? Do you lose your way? Roll a d6, 1 to 3, you become lost. 4 to 6, you do not. On high, yes! That was a 5, we do not become lost. When the guardian asks you if you are worthy, do you tell the truth of your corruption? How do you convince the statue to let you pass unimpeded? Spend 1 resource, 2 if you got lost for a time, and gain a deed. So, the resource we will spend is our honor. Luckily, we got some of that back after talking with the hermit. So, we travel with this caravan for several days, blending in to get past the encampment. Finally, we make our way to the stairs, where the statue guards it.
Halt before any may ascend to the temple of the Sun Guard. You must declare your worth during your travels. Were you true to your code? Did you maintain your honor? Did you find any corruption in your heart and soul along the travel?
And Florencio can honestly answer that he did not. There is no corruption in my heart. For I have maintained my vows, I have maintained my code, I have fulfilled the signs of the prophecy that the Sword Saint revealed to me before my journey. Though there are times when it was close, I managed to overcome and not fall, and not be tempted, and not fall into the corruption. And the stone statue, we will say, stands motionless and quiet for a minute before the sound of grating stone fills the area as it twists to the side, allowing us to pass. And with this, we gain 1 final deed, and we're going to go ahead and call that deed the Uncorrupted, for we did not fall to corruption. And as we climb the stairs, we finally reach the shrine of the Sun Guards, standing proudly at the top of the mountain, surveying the lands the Order once held guardianship over. Years, wars, and opportunistic thievery have damaged the Great Hall. Stained glass and timbers stand resolute, but broken in many places. Some of the upper chambers have collapsed, where warriors once prayed for guidance and restoration. As you look over the horizon, the sun gleams over the frost cliffs and across the valley below, with the mesa where your companions dwell, distant but visible upon this new day. A young voice calls to you, with weary wisdom beyond its years.
Pilgrim, do you come to offer your deeds? Let us regard your countenance. It is time for the judgment.
As you make your way inside the fallen, rotting hall of your order, the rising sun shines through the broken stained glass, illuminating colorful patterns on the worn rugs that cover the stone tile floors. A brisk wind chills you to the bone. You hear music, though there are no players, and see upon either side of you a procession of spirits, old and young, your brethren who have quested the pilgrimage road before you. Their faces are encouraging as you make your way down the long path to the sanctum and the last guardian. At the center of the sanctum stands a giant brazier, which roars heartily with flame. A voice cries out to you.
Have you fallen low? What are your failures? What did you learn?
And at this point, we would read aloud the moments where our code became corrupted. However, that did not happen for us. So we would answer, I have not fallen low. I have maintained my code. I have maintained my continence. I have served with true faith of the Sun God.
What deeds have thou wrought, pilgrim? Declare them.
And as we declare our deeds, after each, a great shout comes from the assembled spirits, and the fire pops with furious joy.
I am Florencio the Valiant, the soother of spirits, the speaker of the divine word, the protector of the oppressed, the rejecter of supernatural powers, the uncorrupted.
When you are finished, you feel a warm embrace and hear the whispered words,
it is finished.
As you open your eyes, the spirits have departed. The shrine is now made whole, as it would have been in the glorious days of your order, sanctified. What happens next is for you and your companions to decide. The Sun Guard's place in this new world order is yet to be forged. And that is Pilgrimage of the Sun Guard. So this is a lot more in-depth of a journaling game, where most of the other journaling games that we've done here have been very, very built along having a lot of prompts, but a lot of those prompts being not necessarily connected to anything. This narrowed the prompt range down to specific areas, and that allowed for those prompts to be able to be strung together for a definitely more cohesive story. And we were able to get quite the cohesive story in this as Florencio conducts his pilgrimage. And so, yeah, no, this was definitely really nice. This was definitely really fun. It was definitely great to have just that story and that narrative come out without relying on a lot of ingenuity and connecting pieces. So that's definitely a strength for this. Now, also kind of a weakness, because the replay value for this seems a lot lower. Just because when you do have those random prompts, and those random prompts aren't necessarily like designed to be strung together, finding ways to connect that adds to the enjoyment of the game and gives you a reason to go and try again, because, you know, even if you get some of the same prompts, you're going to get new ones. And so that's going to drastically affect how that story occurs. With this, you do have the limited prompts. And I say limited prompts. You have 11 prompts per section and 4 sections. So yeah, you have 44 prompts total on this, but you can only get 11 at a time or for each section. And you're rolling 2 of those. So there are only so many combinations you're going to get. But despite all of that, it does allow you to create that stronger story easier. So if you are new to journaling games, this is definitely a good one to check out, because it does have a lot of strong narrative ties that helps out with that. And then, of course, like with any journaling game, go as in-depth as you want. I was a little bit extra on this, I'm not going to lie. I did go a little bit extra with the descriptions, but and the responses to the prompts. But, you know, that's because that's my enjoyment for this game. And that's how I find fun in these journaling games. But, like I said, really strong ability to build that narrative. Great for people who haven't done a lot of journaling games, who want to check out journaling games and kind of see what it's all about. And like, just really get that experience. So if you would like Pilgrimage of the Sun Guard, you can find it on itch at weirdwonder.itch.io/sunguard. It is currently $8, but definitely go check it out. This is definitely a fun game. I did manage to pick it up in a bundle, so they do bundles. So if nothing else, put it on your wish list, wait for it to pop up in a bundle. However, great game. Go check it out. Tell Amanda that Steel Stash sent you. And remember, I must ask y'all to stay awesome.
You've been listening to Lonely TTRPG, the solo TTRPG live play and review. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. You can also reach us at Twitter at BDDC_pod or at BlackDragonDungeonCompany@gmail.com. If you really like us, you can consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/BlackDragonDungeonCompany. Thank you so much.